All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Talk with Reagan. I have such a special guest, a longtime friend in the coaching industry, Sarah D'Angelo. And we're going to be talking about all of the feminine and masculine structures that you can create within your business. So Sarah, tell us about who you are, how you got into coaching and all that fun stuff.
Yay. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here and be back with you, Reagan. It's like we were just talking about, it's been a long time coming. So I'm happy to be here with you. And hello, everyone. My name is Sarah Rose D'Angelo. I am the CEO of The Embodied Coach. I am a coach, a mentor, a speaker, a leader, a rebel, a corporate dropout. I'm a lot of things. And what I do at my company, The Embodied Coach, is we really try to get more wealth into the hands of women, because I truly believe that your prosperity is service to this world. So whether that's through money manifestation, whether that's through entrepreneurship, whether that's through leadership, whether that's through confidence building, whatever it is, we can help you get more money into your hands. So that's a little bit about me and what I do in a very brief synopsis of it.
I love it. I love it. So powerful. You're like, I'm this and I'm this and I'm this. And I love to see women taking up space, right? It's such an amazing turn of where like we were, you know, like decades ago. So it makes me so happy. Hello, and welcome to the Real Talk with Reagan podcast. I'm your host, Reagan. This is the podcast where I'm going to get really honest about how to grow a profitable online business and share the raw truth of what goes behind the scenes of entrepreneurship. I went from wondering, is this what life is all about as an employee, to CEO of my own company, and was able to replace my paycheck within the first year of business. This show is for the online business owner who is ready to learn not only the strategy, but the mindset of what it takes to grow your legacy as a CEO. I'm so happy you are here. Now let's dive into this episode. Now, Sarah and I kind of have a similar story, but how did you get into coaching? Like, you were, like you said, the corporate dropout. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it was totally on accident, but also so divinely planned. Like, I had no idea what was in store for me. I just knew I was working at my 9-to-5, and I had this feeling. I was like, there's something more to life than just going to work every single day, or, you know, 5 days a week, not doing what you absolutely love, burning yourself out, not prioritizing anything except my career. I was like, there has to be more. I was only 25 years old, and all I had ever done was worked. I had never lived, like never fully lived. And I never took time to really understand what I wanted. I just followed the rules. I followed the corporate path. I was climbing the ladder, and it didn't really hit me that I was unhappy, or that wasn't the only way to do life, until the last year of my career there. So I decided to quit on a whim. I put in my 2 weeks notice. When I say on a whim, this was 6 months in the planning. Like, let's be real. Like, it was 6 months of like, should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I do it? Should I not do it? And finally I was like, fuck it. Let's do it. I'm done. And I really only had the intentions of traveling and seeing the world. And I was like, maybe like, you know, I'll make some money on a travel vlog or something like that. But it turns out I absolutely hated vlogging.
We have the exact same story. I love this. Yeah. Keep going, please.
So I was like, all right, I'm not going to do that. And then I first got introduced to the coaching industry via network marketing. I had some girls from high school who were doing network marketing, and I was like, this is kind of what I want. So like, let's do it. Make money online. I like it. So I started doing that and quickly realized that that was not aligned for me. But I had gotten introduced to a beautiful community of women, and I stumbled upon the coaching industry in the process. So that is when everything changed. And let me tell you, it was not easy. I was like, I'm going to be a mindset coach. I'm going to help people leave their 9-to-5s and like work up courage and live a more freedom-based life. And then it was like 6 months of crickets. And I was at the point that I was like, all right, I had to get 2 part-time jobs just to pay bills. And then all the, you know, COVID hit. I'm like, okay, now I have to really go all in on my business. So I hired my first mentor, and that's when everything really started to shift for me. And now I've built a multiple 6-figure company in a matter of 2.5 years. And it's like, what?
I love it so much. I just, like you said, like you think you're doing one thing and it's like by accident, but it's so, so divine, because how do you just stumble across all of these things? Right. And I have like the same kind of story. I was like, nope, I'm quitting. And I was just barely learning about the coaching industry, quit without a plan. Thankfully, I have like some privilege and some access to wealth through my partner. So I was able to do that. Yeah. But woo-wee, it was, like you said, not easy. And I really love to talk about that, because there's like that saying, like, it's easy, it's all these things. I'm like, it's simple. It's definitely in your realm of achieving, but yeah, it's far from easy.
Yeah. Well, what I always say is like ease, and this is like the feminine, ease is a choice. Mm. Like it doesn't mean that there's not adversity. There doesn't mean there's not challenges. There doesn't mean that there's, you know, you're not going to be met with obstacles, because that's life. And how boring would life be if you didn't be met with those? Mm. But like that ease and pleasure is a choice. It's a mindset of like, this is all happening for me, and I'm choosing to find the good and the pleasure and the challenges, because they're there and there's no fucking denying that.
Yes. I love that so much. Oh my gosh. This is where we turn. We got to get in. So I always like to set this up as like, what if our like people who are listening don't know about this at all? So let's start there. So like when we talk about feminine and masculine dynamics, like what is that? Like, let's take it from the very beginning.
Yes. So what is it is essentially, think of it as the universal law of polarity. Okay. So if there's up, there's down, if there's left, there's right, if there's bad, there's good. And essentially there's also masculine and feminine. And what people don't fully understand with the whole masculine and feminine dynamics is that they think that it means man and woman. Mm-hmm. And you guys, this has nothing to do with gender. This has everything to do with energy. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it the yin and yang. You can call it the masculine and feminine. You can call it the light and the dark. Like, you can call it whatever you want, whatever lands and rings true for you. For me, it's the masculine and feminine. And when I first dove into this work, I really resonated with the masculine, because it had gotten me very far. So the masculine, you guys, I like to think of it as like the S's. So it's the systems, the structures, the schedule, right? Like all of those things. It's the order. Yeah. And I like to think of it as the stage that we build for ourselves to create a safe space for us. There's a lot of S's with the masculine, as you can see.
We love it.
It's a very safe space for the feminine, right? And the feminine, especially for female entrepreneurs, particularly because we are innately more feminine, but we've been culturally conditioned to be more masculine because that's what's pedestaled.
Yeah.
The feminine is the flow. It's the expression. It's the receivership. It's the like full owning of your body and your worth, right? Mm-hmm. I like to think of the masculine as the mind and the body as the feminine, because the masculine's like very logical. Like the masculine makes sense. The feminine doesn't make sense. The feminine knows no limits. Yeah. Like she doesn't know. She just is full expression. Or I say she, but I mean the feminine. And my work personally was with the feminine, because it felt dangerous. It felt wild. It felt just unfamiliar. Yeah. So that's a little bit about the dynamics.
Yeah. So let's like anchor that maybe into like an example, because I was the same way. And I think most of us, I won't speak for all of us, but I think most of us enter into entrepreneurship with a long ass to-do list, almost working to the where we burn ourselves out. It's a lot of control. When you think of masculine, I almost think it's like type A, but in a way that you don't want to be a type A, right? Where it's like feels like, oh God, almost kind of a feeling. So like, let's ground this into maybe an example around maybe money or like client attraction or whatever feels that's coming through for you.
Yeah. So I guess I'll speak from my personal experience. When I first started my business, I was such in a state of the more I do, the more worthy I am.
Yeah.
And so I really attached my worth to my achievements, which is a very disempowered masculine state of being. Mm-hmm. So like, I will also say that I refer to five different components of the masculine and feminine. There's the disempowered masculine, the disempowered feminine, mm-hmm. the divine masculine, and the divine feminine. Mm-hmm. And then there's the sacred union of them, which is like your external relationship with the masculine or feminine.
Okay. Love it.
Yes. So I was very much in a state of my disempowered masculine where I could never do enough. I never felt enough. I neglected my body. I never listened to it. I was in that state of control. I could not surrender to save my life. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel safe, right? And so I had this very like anxious attachment style where it was like, I was always stressing. I was always worried. I was always like trying to just do more and prove that I was worthy. Yeah. Which ultimately just led to the same patterns at my 9-to-5, which that's not why we fucking started our businesses, right?
Yes. I feel like this is worth like sitting in for a second because that's so true. A lot of us are working harder with higher standards and crueler management. And what I mean by that is your ego, right? Than you were ever in your 9-to-5. But we have somehow made it okay because we're so attached to our business. It's like our beating heart out in the world. And so I can really see where that like comes in. And that, what did you call it? I always think of wounded, but that's not what I want to say. What did you call it? Disempowered?
Yeah. Disempowered, but wounded, toxic, whatever you want to call it.
So you were in there. I was in there. I think everybody's been in there. So talk about that shift maybe to, I'm at a breaking point. What do I do?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was like this like huge come to Jesus moment because I was like, wait, I literally started my business for freedom and I don't have that because of my own self-imposed restrictions, right? Like it's literally me. Yeah. And then I got introduced to the whole concept of masculine and feminine dynamics. And I realized that I was so deeply disconnected from the feminine. And the feminine, the empowered feminine, again, like this is a state of like a being, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a state of receiving. It's not a state of like, I have to do more. It's like, I'm worthy because my heart is beating, right? And then it was bringing more of the ease and more of the pleasure and more of the flow into my business so that I could actually like be myself and be in my joy and be in my pleasure. What I didn't realize was that it's not one or the other. Mm. Right. So when I first went into the work, I was like, all masculine. And then I was like, oh my God, all feminine. Right. I'm an extremist, clearly.
Oh, I love it.
And what I realized was that like, it's not one or the other, like to really, truly thrive in life as an entrepreneur, you get to have both. You get to have the healthy, empowered masculine inside of your business, inside of your relationship with money to support you, to make you feel safe, to make you feel like it's actually okay for you to be in your pleasure and your joy. So I've almost personified my business to be the masculine. To have the systems and structures and automations to support me while I get to be in my feminine. And that allows me to be in a state of openness and surrendered flow and receivership, right? Like I'm an open portal to receive more.
Yeah. I feel like with the feminine side, it's so much harder to grasp, right? Because with, like you said, the masculine, it's very easy to grasp because like you said, it's structures, it's systems, it's all like the automations. It's like having, it's like what we love to have as business owners and what we love to have just as human beings. And then when we jump to like the feminine side of things, feels really challenging. Like, where do you even start? Like, what does it mean to receive? Like, what does it even mean to feel joy? Like, how do you move to that? What did it look like for you? Like, I feel like that's the hardest part in maybe life until you can master it.
100%. Like it's like, we try to describe it with these words, like surrender and receive and all the things. Right. But like you said, it's so intangible. The feminine is not something you can quantify. It's not something you can like it's not tangible, like a pen or a phone or whatever. I'm just like looking at things on my desk right now. It's how you be, right? And then the masculine is what you do. And what I've come to the understanding of is if you're doing something from a state of lack or stress or worry or doubt or fear or whatever it is, then it's not really making the biggest impact.
Yeah.
Because your being codes your doing. So if you're coming from a place of, you know, the empowered feminine, and that's what's coding your doing is going to be so much more powerful, so much more impactful, so much more fun to do because of the state you're in while doing it. And that's the feminine. So it's the feeling. And I mean, there's so many practices and ways to move into your feminine, like a lot of body work, right? Yeah. Dropping out of the head, getting into the body, tapping into your pleasure. And that can look like self-pleasure, but that can also just be like enjoying a delicious cup of coffee that tastes like fucking magic, right?
Yes.
Like it's whatever, it's how you feel, it's how you be, it's how you, the energy you walk into, or the room, the energy that you embody when you walk into a room, right? Yeah,
for sure. I feel like, and I'm curious to hear your opinion, like the first step into that is not making now a problem. I feel like one of the biggest issues with being is that the grass is fucking greener on the other side, right?
Yes.
And that I feel like is the most rewarding yet challenging work. Do you find that when you're like getting into being? Because when I think of being, I almost think of like presence.
Yeah. Well, that's like a beautiful example of the masculine and feminine, because the masculine is very goal oriented. So it's very future oriented.
Yeah.
The feminine just is. Yeah. It just exists. And she's much more stimulated by the feeling of now versus once you've achieved something. And I think that's like the biggest difference, is like giving yourself permission. And the motto of the embodied coach is be her now, right? Like,
love that.
Yeah, like feel that version of you, the version of you who has built a six-figure, multiple six-figure, who the version of you who has signed clients, the version of you who has the dream home, like, can you give yourself permission to feel the feeling? Because the feeling is the actual goal.
Yes.
And it's available to you right now if you allow yourself to feel it.
Yeah, that's so huge, I think, as an entrepreneur. And you said something so beautiful about how it's always the feeling that we want. And it's like our logical brain can't understand that, because it's like, no, we want the Bali trip. And you're like, no, you want the feeling of your toes in the sand, right? You want the feeling of freedom. So like, where do we go when our brain is like, no, you can't, this is unavailable for you to even feel?
Yeah. Tapping into the power of your imagination.
I love that.
I mean, it changed my whole life when I realized, I'll never forget the first time my first coach told me, and I don't know if it was her quote or if she got it from someone else, but essentially it's everything in this life has been created twice. Mm. Once in the imagination, once in the reality, right?
Love that.
And so tapping into your imagination, your body does not know the difference between what's being imagined and what's happening in real life. It doesn't know the difference. So if you're imagining yourself in Bali with your toes in the sand and a piña colada or whatever, right? Like you can experience the sensations in your body of that now without having to have the physical thing through the power of your imagination. Right? That's where I started for sure, where I was like, oh, I feel really turned on right now, but I don't even have the physical results yet. How is this possible? Oh, I'm thinking about it, right? Your thoughts create your reality. Same thing.
I love that. I feel like imagination kind of like you stop like after you're a child, right? You're like, okay, but now we're done. And I love that you bring that into this podcast and into your coaching, because it's like, well, that still like lives in you. Like your imagination still lives in you, right? And I feel like there's probably different ways to do it. Like you probably script some stuff if you're a writer, think about stuff, but I love that. I love that so, so much. So my next question is like, but we follow a lot of rules. Do we, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we feel like that sounds amazing, but is that possible for me? Like, I don't know, like, it, what Sarah and Reagan have, like, cannot even be available to me, because there feels like there's like these guidelines and these rubrics and these rules. So I feel like we could segue to like, what does it mean to be a rule breaker? Cause you love that. I love that. I would love to hear your philosophy on that.
Oh my God. Burn the rule book, please. burn the rule book and create your own. Like, this is probably something you and I can talk about forever.
Yes.
because like the reason why we want a rule book is because we don't want to have to figure it out ourselves. We just
yeah.
We just want the blueprint. We want the how to get to A to B to C to D, so on and so forth. And also that's, again, what's pedestal. Like, even in marketing, even in like the whole coaching industry, it's like, I'll give you the blueprint to 5K, 10K months, right? Like, I used to use that in my marketing all the time. Like, But the reality is there's not a rule book. Even if someone was to have this proven method on how to succeed in life, in business, whatever it is, your experiences with it are going to be entirely different based off of your beliefs, your trauma, your perspective on life, your energy. Like, it's literally impossible to have an actual rule book. And so I always say, I'm like, y'all, I never like to shame anyone in their methods, but like, please fire the coach that tell you there's only one way to do it. there's a right way to do it. And the more that I broke rules in my business, then the more, and when I say broke rules, I mean like stopped listening to what everyone else was doing and went into my alignment, everything changed because I was operating from a place of true alignment, not from shoulds.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that rule and rubric, and we think it's a great move and structure is a great move, but that's, I think, what causes a lot of pressure and resentment and comparison. Like, if this is the rule book, then why did it work for Sarah and not like, you know, Sally Sue, right?
Yep.
And I think what you said is like, we all come in with like different icebergs, right? Like what we see on the surface versus what we come with underneath is very, very different. So my path for healing and alignment is going to look a lot different than your path or someone else's path. And I love that way you said it, because honestly, it gives you so much freedom.
It gives you so much freedom. And like my mantra is, my truth will make me millions. Not, not Reagan's truth, not Taylor's truth, not Sally Joe's truth, or whatever.
We love Sally. Who are you, Sally?
What's funny is Sally is the name of my ego, so I love that you said that one.
So much. I love things like that.
But it's like nobody else's truth is going to set me free like mine, you know? And the more embodied and expressed you are internally and externally, like to yourself and to your community, the more irresistible you are.
Yeah. You know? That's so true. Cause that's when you really find that secret sauce for sales. Yeah. And I know you talk a lot about like irresistibility and being desirable. Like, I just rant queen. Like, what does that look like? How do you get there? Because a lot of us are done, like done reaching out, done being the one that feels like, I always call it the pursuer. Like, we're done being the pursuer, right? So what does that look like?
I'm like lighting up. I'm so excited to talk about this. So it's funny that you say the word pursuer, because in like relationship wise, the innate nature of the masculine is pursuing,
right? Oh, like, I love where this might be going.
like think about, you know, they were the hunters naturally. Like, nobody just decided that. Like, they just were. The feminine were absolutely providers in different ways, but they were also like the muse. They were the ones receiving, right?
Yeah.
So I say the masculine zone of genius is pursuing, and being of service to the feminine. The feminine is the muse. The feminine is the seductress. The feminine is like in her natural state of being desirable. You know, she doesn't have to go hunt to prove that she's desirable. She just is. And so when it comes to business, I mean, I think we can all say that when we first start our business, depending on who you were taught by or whatever, like you're kind of taught to be the pursuer.
Yeah.
Right. I know I was like 100%, like, And then it gets to a point where you're like, I know my worth. I know what feels good for me. I know what feels aligned for me, because you start to realize the things that do feel good and the things that don't as you continue to do them. Right.
Yeah.
And then you start hearing about the word attract and magnetize, and it probably sparks your curiosity because you're like, what is this all about? Are you telling me I don't have to work and I can just attract? No, we're not saying that. But there is some truth in the sense of you actually don't have to do the pursuing. You don't have to do the chasing. You don't have to go hunting your clients. You don't have to go in the DMs and sending DMs to every single person. Like, yes, there are aligned actions to take. You have to figure out what your aligned actions are. If that is pursuing, if that is DMing people, inviting them into your containers, like, more power to you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Like, if that feels so good for you, you go do that. If that doesn't feel good for you, then yes, there is another way.
Yes.
And that's where the feminine comes in, because the feminine takes you from magnetic. I always say, like, people are like, well, how do I manifest? I'm like, you constantly are. Mm-hmm. It's just doing it with intention. You are a magnet. Whatever you're embodying, you're attracting. What the feminine allows you to tap into is to shift from not just magnetic, but irresistible. Because the feminine knows her worth, right? And when the feminine, when you know your worth, when you know that you're the prize, the clients, the money, all of your desires cannot resist you. And that's when time collapses between how long it takes for your desires to realize for you.
Yeah. I love that so much, because when you think about the masculine and the marketing and the pursuer, right? It looks like finding what you're really freaking good at, right? Whether that be speaking, podcasting, whether that be writing, whether that be, like you said, in your DMs. I have clients that love the DMs. They're like, I love talking. I'm like, good for you. I'm not going to do that, but good for you. And I love that when you speak about the feminine, it's really about like just being this essence of what people like, the you're the prize. And I think we forget that in entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
When you say you're the prize, like, what does that look like really like embodied?
Yeah. Well, it's really just a feeling, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I can describe the feeling, but what I will say is like that shift happens when you get sold on yourself, right? Like
I love
when,
that.
And this is what I teach every single one of my clients to do when they're building offers or, you know, deciding their pricing or whatever it is. It's like, okay, are you sold on it?
Yeah.
Because if you're not sold on the idea of your program, of your coaching, of your transformation, if you're not fully like, oh, this is actually going to change somebody's fucking life and this is worth, this is priceless, right?
Yes.
Then it's going to be really hard for you to attract, because you still are going to be thinking that I need to prove, I need to prove, I need to prove, I need to do more, I need to do more.
Yeah.
And that's exhausting. So I would say like where to start with embodying I am the prize is like getting really sold on your offers, getting really sold on what you have to bring to the table, because it is medicine. And there are people out there who desperately crave your unique medicine.
Yeah, I love that. I always tell my clients, people are ready to pay for the service you're offering, right? your only job is to understand that and embody that and trust that, because either someone's going to pay someone else $5,000 or 10, or they're going to pay you. Like, money is meant to be spent. I feel like in the conversation of money, it's really never about the money. Would you agree?
100%. Yeah. Because if it was really about the money, then every single person on this planet's answer or their answer or their reality would be the same with money. But everyone's is different, which means it's not a conversation of money. It's a conversation of our beliefs and our relationship with money.
So true. So, so true. So if anyone who's listening and they're like, okay, I'm into this, like, what's a great starting point? They're like, I'm so interested in this. I want this to be available to me. I'm a little timid and I don't really know where to start.
Yeah. The masculine and feminine part or the breaking rules part?
Ooh, what do you think comes first, or are they together?
I think they're so together, because like by you moving away from the paradigm of the disempowered masculine, you're already breaking rules. So
yeah. I would be like, I feel like you have to get in that space of, like you said, burn the rule book. The rule book is impossible, which I think is a great like thing that came out of your mouth, because then you can't really even, your brain can't fight with it. It's like, no, it's actually not even a thing. Like if you were to bring 10 people into this room, right, and they all had the same process, it would all look differently. So yeah, I love that. I love how you said, like, when you're actually in the correct masculine, the rules begin to kind of shed. So let's go with like where to begin to A, understand if they're in the wrong masculine, and like, where does that shift even begin to start?
Yeah. So I would say figuring out where you're at right now and what feels good. Like, do you feel connected to your body? Do you like, I guess awareness, right? Awareness is going to be the first step. Like, where are you right now? Mm. And what's your desired outcome?
Yeah.
And depending on what your desired outcome is, if you're like, I want to be able to be more in my feminine, I want to attract and I want to seduce my desires and I want to receive them graciously, like if that's something you desire, then start with some of these. One, start to connect with your body and pleasure first and foremost, because your body is where you experience the sensations in which you desire. So like allowing yourself to move and release and express through your body. The next thing is maybe becoming aware of why the feminine doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
Like for me, I had a huge mother wound and I had to do a lot of work around healing my relationship with my mother, because that was going to be the gateway for me to feel safe in being a wildly expressed woman.
Yeah.
Right. Which my mother so is. Yeah. But if you're feeling, you're like, okay, like maybe I've got the feminine down. Because some people are more innately in their feminine. Mm-hmm. This is where, and actually I would say this is for everyone. The feminine is only going to feel safe with a healthy masculine.
Yeah.
So where can you support yourself? Where can your business support you? Does that mean batching content so that you can go on vacation while still feeling safe that money and is going to be coming in and clients are still going to be inquiring and you're still going to be impacting people? That was just a conversation that I had this week with my audience, because I was like, I really have like not been working this past quarter that much.
I love that.
But the only reason why I've been able to do that is because the masculine in my business, the masculine that is my business, supports me.
Yeah. I love this conversation so much because it's so holistic, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can't swing to full flow and you can swing to just full on to do structure. And I mean, I've been at both spectrums, just like you were like, now I will sit and receive, right? And then I'm like, wait, what's happening? And so I love how you spoke about this really holistically, because you do need both, but they both can be your own. And I think that's the most beautiful part of, around this conversation, is like, it doesn't have to look like anyone else and it can work. Like you just have to understand the essence of it and then decide what's in. I was like seeing like two little like globes. So I'm like, what's in both of these?
Yeah. And something that just came through too when you were talking was something I have all my clients do when figuring out their aligned strategy is what's a fuck yes, what's a fuck no, what feels outside of your comfort zone that you just need to illuminate with some pleasure.
Right? I love that.
Yeah. And get it aligned, right? Because it can be hard to discern between, oh, well, this feels scary, it must not be aligned, versus like, oh, this just feels new and uncomfortable and I need to get it feeling good.
Yeah. I think about TikTok. Oh my God. I'm just starting on TikTok. I'm like, I hate this, but it's not that I don't want to do it, cause I feel comfortable talking. I'm just like, it's brand new. So yep. I love that so much.
I had that same resistance. It's so funny.
I was like, God, why? It's the wild, wild west out there.
Yeah. It's a whole new world. I literally, like, I hired someone to manage my whole TikTok because I'm like, I just can't.
I love that. But you have that structure and you have that trust with yourself. Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. Okay, Sarah, we could literally talk forever, but I always like to wrap up these podcasts with, like, what are some words of wisdom? Like, what is, like, one of the biggest lessons you've learned thus far for being a coach for, you're going into year three, right?
Yeah. I'm 2.5 years, or April was 2 years. So I'm going into 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I have so much. Okay. I think that falling in love with the unfolding of your journey will bring you so much more joy than any milestone ever will.
Oh, I got the goosebumps. That's so good.
Yeah. And it's not easy, right, to do that, because we are conditioned to think that how much we do and what we achieve is going to make us feel enough and make us feel whole, but you already are. Mm. And entrepreneurship is such a wild journey. Mm. And there's moments where you're feeling on top of the world, and there's moments where you're in the depths of your suffering, and both are equally sacred and beautiful.
Mm.
If you allow yourself to view them through that lens.
That was so beautifully said. I'm like goosebumps. I'm like, yay. So true. And I think it goes back to what you said, like almost at the very beginning of this podcast, like pleasure's a choice.
Yeah.
Like you said, even in the depths of pain, you can have this perspective of like, okay, we're going to be all right. And this is just as, it's hard, but it's just as rewarding as whatever that high is going to be.
Yeah. Let that pain, let that like suffering actually excite you, because your ability to hold that is your ability to hold pleasure. So if you can hold a lot of pain, you can also hold the equal amount of pleasure. Mm. So that it actually gets to be exciting when you realize that.
That's golden, right? So even when you're like in the depths, if you're in the depths right now, just hold it. Because you get to be on the other side and experience that on the other light part of life. Sarah, where can they find you? How can they hang out with you?
Instagram is definitely where I hang out the most. And all my links and stuff are in Instagram too. So follow me there. I have a private Facebook group, which is brand new and still growing. So if you want to be a part of more of like a more intimate community where you get more access, more trainings, more like first access to my podcast, definitely join that space. You'll also just be a part of a beautiful community of embodied coaches and the ecosystem that I'm building inside of the industry. And feel free to tune into my podcast too. It's called Pleasurable Success. You can listen to mine and Reagan's episode that was recorded over a year ago.
Yeah, I would love to go back and listen to see what we said and see how things change. I feel like things just always evolve so much.
Always.
Thank you so much for coming on. This was so good. This is something so beautiful to ground into as CEOs and business owners. Because like we said, it's not easy, but there's things to make it more, what did you say, more easeful. Is that a word? I created it. I don't know.
I like it.
Amazing. Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Real Talk with Reagan. I hope you are taking what you are learning in these episodes and putting it to work so you can sign consistent clients and replace that paycheck. Now, before you go, I have something special for you. There is a freebie in my show notes, and you are going to want to download it ASAP. I am giving you 3 fail-proof steps to create your first 4 figures as a coach. Yep, you heard that right. Inside of this free training, I'm covering the 3 steps that if you implement it in your business, you can make your first $1,000 in your coaching business and beyond. Now, one last favor. If you love this podcast, share this knowledge with others by either sharing my podcast on your social media and tagging me, or by leaving a positive review so that Apple boosts this podcast for others to see it and learn from it and also grow their business. Okay, I'll see you next week where we dive into more realness around creating a profitable coaching business.